Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to The Missing Voice. I am so sorry about the delay. Skype was not wanting to work with Blog Talk Radio tonight. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Donna McIntyre, so we can get this show on the road for Mary Ann Higginbottom. I think I said the name right. Donna, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know what was going on. It's been a heck of a thing with my internet, and then Skype wasn't wanting to work. Every time I dialed in, it would kick me back out, and then my internet didn't want to work, and I was starting to freak out. Lord, it's been a long day. So tell tell me about Mary, and tell me about this. You know, because we talk, and you've told me things here and there, and I know you're very passionate about your friend's case and whatnot.
Yeah, Marianne and I played softball together. We went to school together. We graduated at Plainfield High School. She met Timothy Willoughby, and from there it kind of changed her life.
I guess, take off with him, or?
No, they actually lived together. Yeah, no, they lived together in a little house, and Tim got mixed up with the wrong people. He was trying to get his life together, and he had gotten arrested, and he was allowing the stolen car ring to put parts at their house, and they would pay him, you know, back in the 70s, you didn't make much money, which is no excuse, but he would store stolen car parts there. So when he got busted, he offered to give them the information that they needed to bust this major ring that was like three different states involved. But he asked him to give Marianne protection, and they refused to do it. So him and his attorney got up and walked out of the room, and 3 days later, they was gone. But for 4.5 years, they blamed Tim for Marianne's murder. The newspapers all wrote articles about Tim was the murderer. He was the one that killed Marianne, until the informant came forward in 1982. An informant came forward and gave him all the details, and we've never found Tim. I was fortunate enough to put him in nameless in 2014 through my missing database on Missing and Not Forgotten. And then I was able to get his sister's DNA taken and put into Nameless. But if I ever find him, it'll be a miracle, because I've looked for 40 years in the John Doe database.
Now, if I'm right, the Hendricks County Police Department just brushed hers and Tim's disappearance off as if... you know, no need to worry. They're, you know, she's just probably on the back of a motorcycle off to California, you know, blah, 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 you know, having a good old time, enjoying life. Now, isn't that
yeah,
the
idea,
you know, this?
Yeah, that's what they told Mrs. Higginbotham. I mean, they really technically didn't even, if you want to be personal about it, they didn't take a missing persons report. They just told her, you know, she'd come back. And that never happened. So for 364 days, Mrs. Higginbotham couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I think it was Channel 59 News that came over the news that there was a body found off of White Lick that was in a barrel. Mrs. Higginbotham knew that exact day that that was Mary Ann. She's the one that called him and told him to check Mary Ann's dental records.
Wow.
So,
and
yeah.
That was because you guys had some really bad, wow.
Yeah,
this
we had
just
the,
terrible.
Yeah, we had a blizzard and we had over 26 inches of snow. So when the snow melted off, the water banks and stuff flooded and the area that the barrel was originally in, it had unlodged. And then when it went on the news that they found a body, and once they found out it was Mary Ann, the killers went back and retrieved the other barrel. And according to the witness and the informant, they went back and dismantled Tim's body and had trouble doing it. They had to use the torch and stuff. So they... The storyline is that they have Tim scattered in different counties and outside of Indiana. Several years ago, there was a body that was found in a drum. It was a septic tank. And my first thought was maybe it was Tim, but it wasn't. It was I can't remember if he was Filipino or Asian. It was a young college student that somebody had murdered and put in there. But, no, there's never been no trace of Tim. His parents died... not knowing, you know, what happened to him. They did ask their daughters to make sure, you know, and find Tim and bury him next to him because that was their only son. But today I went to the cemetery and took balloons and took poor new angels to Marianne's grave.
Now, was there ever any justice served in her case? Were those people brought to justice? Were they charged or?
They was both charged with two first-degree capital murders, and the one asked for a speedy trial, and Coleman, which was the prosecutor at that time, he's now a judge, he went to Mrs. Higginbotham and her husband, and he went to the Willoughbys and told them, you know, I don't think I have enough evidence, let's put this on the back burner, we'll go back when we got charges. And if you remember, when Bennett did the interview with me and Mrs. Higginbotham, when he got him on record, they said that they didn't think the informant was reliable. Well, the informant was reliable because the informant was actually married to the killer, to one of the killers. And she had all of her faculties back in 1982. And then he said that when he had gave an interview on one of the newspaper articles, and I had never seen it until Bennett had moved the clouds around, and then it come up like 39 years later. And then that one is why I dictated when I wrote the 39-year anniversary article. I wrote word for word what Coleman said. He wasn't worried about the killer because he didn't have a record. He wasn't going to come anywhere, and there was no statute of limitations on murder. So he told Bennett that, you know, wasn't really anything they could do. And the prosecutor, we had a meeting, I think it was in 2013 or 14, with the detective and the prosecutor, because they had eventually done DNA on the barrel back in 2012 or 13, 14, whatever year it was. And she wouldn't even look at Mrs. Higginbotham. She never looked at Mrs. Higginbotham in that meeting. They had no idea I was going. Mrs. Higginbotham asked me to go. And, of course, they didn't know who I was, and they didn't like it when I went in and started asking questions.
So... And if I'm right, every time you post about Mary's story on Facebook, you miraculously end up in Facebook jail.
Yep, that's the routine. And I posted, the other day I posted that Mary Ann's 40th anniversary was coming up, and within an hour I was in Facebook jail. But I can tell you why I got in Facebook jail. It's because when I wrote the article for Mary Ann's 60th birthday in November, I put all my cards on the table and they didn't like it. Too bad, it was off public record.
Right.
I didn't break any laws on what I did. I told the truth.
Well,
in fact, there's a second informant there's a second informant that went to law enforcement back in 1982, right after that, and told him word for word what the first informant said, and they never bothered to do anything with it. So John Liverman wrote an international article for me in 2014, and I became really good friends with him. And this particular woman was waiting on a liver transplant. She didn't know if she was going to live or not. And I kept calling the detective, asking him if they would do a video deposition because, you know, she didn't know one way or another what was going to happen. And he called her one day and he said, well, you're really reliable. He says, but the prosecutor doesn't want to go any further because she doesn't think that the other one is reliable and thinks she, because she's got dementia now. And she said, well, that person had all the faculties back in 1978 and 1982. You know, so I don't know why. But John talked to her for probably an hour and a half or two. And then he talked to Mrs. Higginbotham and them. But there's never been no newspaper articles ever go and apologize to Tim's family for slandering his name, for saying that he's the one that killed Marianne. I have every newspaper article on Marianne. I have a whole photo album full. But they never, ever apologized to his family, ever. I was the one that put him in the database.
Wow.
They wouldn't even put him in the database. If you went to Indianapolis Feed Line, it said he was presumed to be a homicide victim.
Huh.
The prison system has playing cards, and Marianne and Tim is in the third edition of the prison cards.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because who waits 40 years to get justice? I told Alan, he took me to the cemetery today, and I said, Marianne Pidstone is 40 years old, but it looks like it was just put there, except for the new angels and the other angels up there. But it's sad to think that you never had a family, you never had children.
Yeah, I've never had that chance.
No. Miriam was very gifted.
You know,
she could draw.
You know, I guess what it takes me right back to, why do people think that they have the right to take somebody else's life? A person, the thought that they have the right to take another person's life.
They didn't care.
I don't understand it.
I just don't
understand it.
The informant, when that informant came forward and told all the graphic details, the detective asked her how could she be so callous in the way that she was describing stuff. And she said, that's just how it was back in the day. I mean, no remorse whatsoever.
Wow. That's just insane. But you know what? There's murderers today that are just that callous today that murdered people 10 years ago that are just that callous 10 years ago. You know, and I just really want to know what gives these people the right to take somebody's loved one's life.
I don't know. Marianne begged for her life, and it didn't matter.
And then for these prosecutors and these prosecutors to sit there and decide who gets prosecuted and who don't. That's another thing that pisses me off.
Yeah, but money talks, Jody. You know, I mean, they did have connections in the town in Hendricks County, so them connections paid off, you know. It's sad.
Yeah, but I know how that works.
Get justice. Yeah, it's sad that she'll never get justice, but one day they'll have to pay the piper. You know, I just make sure that I keep
my
memory.
Works.
Yeah. Well, it was so sad on her case. they went into her house and emptied it out, and electric skillet, blender, you know, they took it home. Who does that?
The murderers did? The murderers did?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How?
They even took Marion's jewelry and sold it. They took Marion's jewelry off of her and sold it. Mrs. Higginbotham finally got the jewelry back a couple of years ago. Of course, it was hounding like crazy to get them out of the evidence room. And when I did the interview with Bennett, when I went to Mrs. Higginbotham's house, when she got that box of jewelry out, I had to walk outside. I lost it. Because here's Mrs. Higginbotham. She's just this little bitty thing. She looks like a little mini doll. She's so tiny. She's trying to open Marianne's jewelry, and she's got a cedar chest of Marianne's stuff. And today she was going through Marianne's stuff because, you know, certain holidays she goes through her stuff. And I called her on my way home from the cemetery.
You know, it just takes me back to when you said that they, you know, they emptied her house out and took her belongings home with them. It takes me back to, you know, when, and you know, I've got a case that I'm really passionate about, like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me back to, you know, when he went missing. There was a certain individual that was seen wearing his clothes.
Yeah.
And it's believed that this individual's involved in his murder.
Yeah. Well, you know, they rented the house that they rented the house that Marion and Tim lived in. And when they didn't pay the rent and stuff, and the landlord went over there, he goes in and part of the floor is cut out, the linoleum floor, and stuff was laying out behind the house and in the little creek bed, Marianne's driver's license and purse, and I forget what all was out there. But he took pictures. If it wasn't for the guy that had that house, they wouldn't even have them. Law enforcement never went and got it. The landlord took pictures.
Oh.
The house is no longer there, but the pictures that they have and stuff, they got it from him.
Wow.
Marianne went missing in Hendricks County. Her body floated from Hendricks County all the way to Morgan County. Do you remember Terry Chastain that was murdered with her three children from he got the death penalty. Bowman was a judge in Morgan County. He came from Hendricks County and was a presiding judge over this case. And he asked for the death penalty, and he got the death penalty. He was the first one that was executed in Indiana, because I went to part of that trial. What was his name? Stephen Judy. He killed Terry Chastain. When I had to go to the heart doctor today, and my blood pressure was up, and they wanted to know why, and I told him that, you know, today was Marianne's anniversary, I was just sick. And the nurse says, I understand what you're talking about. She says, my daughter's best friend was murdered, and I said, what was her name? And she says, Terry Chastain, and I said, I met her husband, because back in 78, we didn't have advocates and stuff. So we formed a support group in Martinsville that would go, you know, the families of murder victims would get together. And I met her husband. But the guy acted like he had car trouble and pointed for her to pull off the road. And he got her and her three children and drowned them and killed them. But that was just not too far from where Marianne's barrel was found.
Wow.
But I thought, what's the likelihood of going to the doctor today and then meeting a nurse's daughter knew her?
Yeah, what is the likelihood of that?
Yeah, well, because that case is probably 36, 37 years old. It wasn't long. Marianne and the Burgerstaff murders is one of the coldest cases in Indiana. Because at one time in the very beginning, they thought Marianne's case might be related to the Burgerstaff murders, but it wasn't. Because the Burgerstaff murders has never been solved either.
Ha. Huh. So, I don't understand how they just feel that
Well, I can tell you how they feel, because they had to give, they did DNA swabs on them. I forget what year it was. It was before I put Tim in the database. So I put him in the database December the 14th of 2014. It was prior to that when we had that meeting. They had search warrants to get the DNA swab, and they went in like a SWAT team. The other guy lives in Florida. So it wasn't long after that the guy's business closed up. But they went in and got DNA, and, of course, they didn't match in the barrel. They knew they weren't going to match in the barrel. There's unknown male DNA in the barrel that they forgot to tell us about. I found that out through the news reporter. They didn't say anything to us in that meeting about any. They said there was no DNA in the barrel. And there was male DNA in there. They don't know who it was. I know who the DNA belongs to. But they never got DNA swabs from that person. They offered that person a deal to walk away scot-free, and he turned them down because he knew they didn't have anything on him. And that was in 2014. They offered that person to walk away scot-free with no charges whatsoever. And said, nope, not interested.
Oh, that's ragged.
Well,
that's just terrible.
They have to live with that. I mean, like I said, they have to pay the piper, because when somebody gets sick or they really need help, they have a lot of asking of God before they're ever getting to his gates.
Yeah, absolutely. I just can't imagine them being like that with her mother and them just, you know,
well,
that prosecutor just.
I don't know if he just didn't know what his job was because he was young. I know if you go to the newspaper articles, because articles sometimes are misleading. One article says that they couldn't find her family because they no longer lived there. They knew where Mrs. Higginbotham lived at. You know, just like they knew that Tim didn't kill Marianne, but they sure put it in the paper. You know, I probably fought for Tim more than anybody besides his sister. If nobody else offered to put Tim in the database, I did. I put him in the database. When I asked in that meeting why Tim wasn't in the database so that I could find him, that no need to put him in there. I'm like, really? And that Tim was the first person that I ever put in the database, and I spent 4.5 hours putting him in there because I was afraid I'd mess up. So I had his sister on the phone to make sure I didn't miss anything. And, you know, his sister was young when it happened. Both the sisters was young. They was just kids. But, you know, back in 1978, who thinks that you're going to meet your love of your life and then end up dead at such an early age? Because Marianne did love Tim, you know, and I've never said that I hate Tim because Marianne died. That was who Marianne cared about.
Right.
And he was trying to change his life. He was trying
in
to change his life.
In 78, I was... Let's see, in 78, I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Yep.
I wasn't even...
How old I was in 70.
I hadn't even had kids yet. Alan and I was married 6 years before we had kids, so I remember the day that Marianne was found. I told Alan, I said, that's Marianne, and he said, babe, you don't know that, and I said, Alan, I know that's Marianne.
Wow. I just, you know, because you are so passionate about keeping her memory alive, and I know a lot, you know, and I know a lot of your advocacy surrounds keeping Mary's memory alive and her story alive, and that's what makes you such a good advocate, because not only do you advocate for her, but you advocate for thousands of people every day.
Yeah, but I always tell everybody, it's really not me. It's Marianne. Marianne just guides me to do it.
Right.
That's not, even when I write my articles, I mean, I write my articles a certain way because I had somebody that would always steal my articles, so that's why I don't break them into paragraphs. And I write my articles a signature way, so if anybody sees something that's not done, they know that somebody stole my article.
Right. Right. That's true. You know, I 40 years. 40 years and no justice. That county should be ashamed of themselves. That prosecutor, even the new prosecutor, those are elected officials. They should be ashamed of themselves.
And of course, the other prosecutor that was the original prosecutor, he's a judge now, but I just don't think that they understand the suffering that Mrs. Higginbotham and her family has went through, and the Willoughby family. You know, they don't even have a place to go take flowers to them at all.
You know what? You know what? I think, and this is just my opinion, but I think that they get into these positions, and after a while, they just become so numb to how families feel. You know, because, you know, Lord knows, I've had a prosecutor look at me and say, don't you want justice? And I've looked at that prosecutor and I said, you know, I don't really think you know what justice is.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, I believe that they were told that they can't do anything else on Marion's case. That's what I believe. I don't think they want Marion's case solved, because if they solve Marion's case, some people's going to be exposed, and they don't want that. It's as simple as that. You know, when you got a cold case that you take back in 1978 and you throw it in a box and put it on the shelf and tell both families, and these two families was not educated, so they didn't know what their rights was at all.
Right.
You know, so you say, well, let's just put it to the side. We're going to go back and get justice later. Well, that box sat there for years. And then it got shipped up to Indianapolis, and it got shifted around. The last detective was very good, but his hands was tied. He couldn't do anything else. He was told he couldn't do nothing, you know, other than when I called and asked him if he would please call the person, the second informant, and then I called to ask him if he signed off on the DNA, and he said, yes, I did, and I'm going to tell you, it took me forever to do that, and I said, I don't know how I could do that, because I did all the paperwork for you. All you had to do was sign it. He told me to lose his number and not call him back. But yeah, all he had to do was put his John Henry on there. I spent 4.5 hours putting him in the database. But like I told his sisters, they had the right to have him put in the database. They didn't even know they had that right. Just like a lot of families don't know what their rights are.
How many times have you called him back since then?
Oh, I've never called him back, ever.
Oh,
I have his number. Oh, no. I'm better than that. I wouldn't stoop to that standard. It was either on Marianne's 30th or 35th anniversary. I asked to put a prayer vigil in the newspaper for Mrs. Higginbotham. And when I called the newspaper and told them who it was, they sent me to voicemail and never returned my phone call. I offered to pay for it. They wouldn't even let us put it in the newspaper.
Wow. Why is it such a hush-hush deal? Why do they want to keep her so quiet? Is it that they feel such ashamed that they didn't do nothing for this family, that they're ashamed of themselves? They should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I can tell you, when I called and asked to put the article in on for the prayer vigil at the ball field that we played ball in, the killer was on the front page of the newspaper with one of the sheriffs as his best buddy on his business. So what's that tell you? And I'm not one to badmouth Jody, but for 40 years, then people didn't give two craps about what was done on Tim and Marianne's case. Like I said, they should have done a retraction and at least said, you know what, we got it wrong. He didn't kill Marianne, but they never did that. And I know I've got people that's mad because I, you know, speak my voice for Marianne, but right's right. And, you know, it was wrong. They never showed any respect to Mrs. Higginbotham or the Willoughby family. And some people think I've never done anything on Marianne's case, which is really ironic because one lady swears up and down that I'm crazy.
Huh. Yeah, I've been told that too, that I'm the crazy lady from below the bridge here in Michigan. But you know what? This crazy lady seems to have a lot of information that, you know, a lot of other people seem to validate.
There's a difference to making Facebook pages and just going on rants and making threats, because that's what this person did for years, and I don't do that. You know, I'll write an article, and then when I've had enough, if it's public record, I'll put it in the article, but I don't break no laws doing anything. I don't make no threats to anybody. I just tell them it's God's truth.
Right. You know, and that's all you can do, is you can only tell the truth.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, lying's not going to get you anywhere. And, you know, it's like if your families call and they're not honest with you, you can't help them. You know, you always have to tell the truth, because if the truth always comes to light. So if I sat there and told you a bunch of lies about Marianne's case, I could see me not getting anywhere. But I've never told a lie on Marianne's case. I've always told the truth because I have all the records. I've had the records, but back in the day, you didn't get copies. You had to go to the courthouse and have them printed off. So to this day, that's still how I do my research. I print everything off, and I read page by page.
Right. You know, and because, like, I was just talking to a girl the other day, and, you know, she had... I'm amazed at how many people are not aware of FOIA.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them are. Even law enforcement, sometimes if you call on NamUs, they, what is that? And I'll tell them what to type in and what case number to type in, and they're like, oh. You know, a lot of law enforcement don't know that. But a lot of your families don't know what their rights are. You know, I always try to stress to the families that I work with, you know, telling them what their rights are, what they can and what they can't do, because you can't take the law into your own hands and just decide you're going to, you know, do what you want to do, because that's going to get somebody hurt. There's a right way and there's a wrong way.
Yeah. You know, you know, and then they just blatantly ignore things. You know, if there's DNA available, why ignore it? I mean, okay, so you're friends with the sheriff. Okay, so you're this. Okay, so you're dad. You know what? I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you're friends, they're friends with the damn Pope. This family deserves justice. That's the bottom line. They deserve justice. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, it's just like here in Michigan, you know. You call our attorney general's office. I think our attorney general's office is a damn joke. You call that office. Oh well, we don't have nothing. We can't do nothing. We can't help you with that. Really, what is your office for? What can you help us citizens for? What can you help us with?
Sometimes though. Going to the attorney general is okay, but sometimes it depends on what you have. Sometimes you just have to bypass the attorney general, you know, and go to the FBI or whoever, because...
And they can't half the time do anything, because they've got to be invited in by the, you know, by that agency.
Yeah. Well, unless you can show criminal activity.
Yeah.
You know, if you show your paper trail, didn't I?
It's just, it's unbelievable that these, you know, families out there suffer for so long, you know, and
well, I
nothing
couldn't
is
even
done
imagine
for them.
Having, I couldn't even imagine not being able to take balloons and angels to Marianne's grave. I mean, at least we have that, which is more than what the
right.
Willoughbys have. They don't even have that.
Right, right. You know, it's like, like with Derek, you know, thank God before Betty passed away, she made sure Derek had his grave and his headstone. You know, there is a grave and a headstone for Derek. If we ever find his remains, there is a grave for him. You know, she made sure that was taken care of before she passed away. You know, but after 9 years, she sure didn't get to see no justice, no nothing.
Well, see,
you
that's
know,
like
and
Sandra
I just,
in Kentucky. You know, Sandra is working on getting Michael's headstone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'll be going back probably in August to help her with another benefit. And then we're going to do another celebration of life because there's just so many new people. We honored over 200 last month, but we probably got double that to go back and do now.
Yeah.
So Sandra
yeah,
and I
so
start doing it twice a year. Well, with the drugs and stuff and society the way it is now, that's why we have such a drastic increase of our missing. I went to a town meeting the other night and we was talking to Chris, which is the guy that's over the paramedics and stuff, and we was talking about that exact same thing. You know, the crime rate and stuff with the drugs is just getting out of hand.
Oh Lord,
and
don't
then
get me started on that old stuff.
Well, and it's summertime, so our missing numbers go up. When school goes out, the numbers go way up. It's just,
yeah.
That's normal. It's sad because once the kids get out of school and they're told they got rules, they don't like it, and then they meet their little friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, and then they're gone before you know it.
I've been ranting all day on my page about, you know, our judicial system and how I just think it fails victims and victims' families. I just,
yeah.
Oh Lord, you know, we have a lady that's being released here in Michigan that's charged with 4 counts of CSC third degree, habitual fourth. And she's being released on a PR bond with a tether.
Wow.
Yes. Absolutely. She went from having a $200,000 cash surety bond down to a PR bond and is going to be released on a tether.
Wow.
You
we're
know.
Just fortunate because we live in such a small community, so we don't see a lot of, you know, what the inner city sees. There's like 2,217 people where we live at. So,
You know, I don't even think, I think that's probably what that population is where this person lives. It's not a big city. It's a small community.
Well, and I don't even live in town. I don't even live in town. But yeah, our town is a small town.
In fact, that lady I was just telling you about is also a person we believe is responsible for Derek's disappearance.
Wow. But
yeah.
You know, if she doesn't ever get charged, she'll get charged at the end, Jody.
Yeah.
What comes around goes around.
You know,
you can't be evil all the time because it comes back and bites you.
Eventually.
Eventually.
It sure will. You know, I feel so sorry for Mary's mother, you know.
Yeah, Mr.
And her brother, her sister.
And her sister,
you know, the whole family. You know, the whole family and Tim's family, you know. They get no justice because, because one of the guys involved is friend with the sheriff. Who gives a rat's ass? Hold him accountable.
That's like the young boy that found Marianne. You know, could you imagine being a young kid and finding that? It's terrible.
No, because I still struggle with the memory of finding our guy, you know, 2 years ago. I struggle with that. You know,
well,
that
I
was horrific enough.
Yeah, I wish I would have never read Marianne's court documents because I still have nightmares over them. Especially when at certain times of the year, like the anniversary and Marianne's birthday. Last night I didn't sleep. Well, I got up at 3:30 this morning. I didn't sleep last night. It's because I just keep replaying everything in my mind. And then, so I'm thinking, okay, did I do my research wrong? Or did I hurt Marianne's case because I, you know, wrote these articles and I put stuff out there? But everything I put out was public record. You know, so you kind of second guess yourself, what did you do wrong? I don't think I did anything wrong. I think I did what I promised I would do, and I'll continue to do that until I take my last breath.
Right, right. You know, and that's all we can do as advocates.
Yeah.
Is continue to advocate every day for Mary, you know. And hopefully someday someone will, you know, get a backbone and say, enough is enough. We know who murdered her.
Yeah.
Let's hold him accountable.
I don't think that ever happened. But like I said, you know, in the end, they'll pay the consequence. You know, I believe that Marianne can finally rest at peace. You know, I guess it would be different if she was just buried and forgotten about. But we always made sure that Marianne was never forgotten because that was always important to keep her memory alive and make sure that, you know, I stayed in contact with Mrs. Higginbotham and them. And I did with Tim's family for quite some time. But Mrs. Higginbotham is like my second mom. When my brother passed away, Marianne's whole family came to my brother's funeral. You know, they're part of my family. I talk to all the time.
Aw. I'm really sorry, Donna. I really am. I'm really sorry that, you know, the legal system let her parents down, her brother and her sister, you as her best friend, you know.
I know, it gets hard. I went to bed crying last night. You ask yourself why, and there's no answers.
There ain't. And then they wonder why sometimes we're so angry as advocates. Why are you so angry?
It's a 40-year nightmare.
Why are you so angry? Because we know you're sitting on information and we know you could prosecute the case and we know you're just not doing it.
I think what angers me more than anything is because I try to keep Marianne's stuff out and every time I write something, I get thrown in Facebook jail. That makes me more angry than the people that did that to Marianne. It's like, you're not going to stop me, so why do you keep reporting me? Why do you keep throwing me in Facebook jail? Do you think I'm going to stop writing? Do you think I'm going to go away? That's what makes me madder than anything. Because how am I supposed to keep Marianne's story out and share my other families if somebody gets mad because I wrote a new article on Marianne and I get thrown in Facebook jail?
Yeah, because, you know, I sent you, there was two articles that was recorded to the Missing Voice show. And one of them was removed immediately, which I'm presuming it was probably the one about Mary, and the other one I had the choice to remove it or not. I'm not going to remove it because it's not. It's
oh yeah,
it's
I know
the
I know
truth,
which one you're talking
you know?
About, and it was on the one case, and it came from the police department. So I don't know why anybody would report it. I mean, if you're reporting from the police department that's doing a live video and giving you an update on somebody that got murdered, I mean.
I just,
I've been reported in my own group, which is really funny. I mean, and Missing and Unforgotten, that's my group, and I've been reported. And I'll look at it, and I'm like, yeah, whatever on that. See where that gets you at. You're blocked.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder who's, like, it don't show me in my group who reported you. It just shows that you were reported.
Yeah, you need to do some changes because mine, I've got mindset where it will show me who reports.
Oh.
Yeah. I changed all my settings several years ago on all my groups. Now, I did set my blog page up because my blog page gives me access to write, because if I kept writing all my stuff and Missing and Not Forgotten, when I go in Facebook jail, it locks all my articles up. So then before I learned how to do a blog page, I would use Alan's Facebook page, and I'd write articles under Alan's name, and then he says, you better not get me in Facebook jail. So when he still worked and he lived out of state, I had an extra phone of his that I ran through my Wi-Fi box, and when I was in Facebook jail and he wasn't living at home, I could still do my Facebook.
Wow.
So by the grace of God, I was able to use my blog page this week. I don't know how long I'm in Facebook jail, but I've been sending nice little things telling me you might want to go check my Facebook page. I don't think I'm doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing other than helping families. Only today I wasn't so nice about it. Today I was a little bit upset. So they sent me a thing back, and they're going to review. I'm like, review what? Because I wrote an article?
Yeah,
review.
Right. Review what? You know, review my article? Review the truth?
Well, actually,
what
I was nice.
What?
I didn't, on her 60th birthday, I wasn't so nice because I put all my cards on the table. But this time, all I did was say it was going to be 40 years. And of course, after I got in Facebook jail, I went back and said, well, it looks to me like I irritated somebody. I guess I must have made the judge and the prosecutor mad, but I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't say that until I got in Facebook jail.
Right. So there is still the online candlelight vigil going for Mary until tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the 4th of July, while I'm thinking about it, if any family wants us to release the Asian kite, Alan buys them every year because we do a 4th of July celebration in life. My mom passed away July 5th. It'll be 18 years. So on our lake, we have professional fireworks done, and then everybody lines up on the dam and we release the Asian kites. But this year I have them all in heart shapes. So if any of our, you know, families want one released for their family members, just let me know on either you or me, and then we'll make sure that we call their name out when we do them here.
Okay. All right, because we are, like, down to 24 seconds. Hey, and we got another show tomorrow night on a young gentleman that was supposedly killed in a car accident, but his family says otherwise. And then we can let people know about, you know, the, and they could call in and listen to that show tomorrow night. That's going to be a really good show.
Okay.
His sister's very passionate about that, too, and I sent you all that.
Yeah, I'll write something up tonight for you.
Okay.